Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Watch this, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou mayest, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. In other words, God's going to do exactly what he said he would. Amen. To give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Amen? That's when people forget the Lord, is when they are blessed and they do have everything that they could possibly want. And he said, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. You notice all those good things that said that God did for those people. He said, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what I've done for you. And because God had brought the children of Israel after 430 years of bondage, he brought them up out of Egypt and took them into the promised land. He said, when you get there, he said, you're going to be living in houses that you didn't even build. You didn't even have to build them. And he said, they're going to be full of good things that you didn't fill. And he said, you're going to eat from vineyards you didn't even plant. You'll drink water out of wells, but you didn't dig them. And I'm going to bless you in ways that you could never imagine, you've never dreamed. But don't forget me. Don't forget. Because God said, I hadn't forgot you. And that's what I want to preach just a few minutes on that thought. A God who will remember. A God who will remember. And I don't mean that God's forgotten anybody, but kind of in the context is when a man dies and you see his kids and how you doing. I'm doing fine. My daddy remembered me and my uncle, my cousin or whatever remembered me in his will. And that's the way it is with God. When those children of Israel got out there in the desert, in the wilderness, you know, they was going around in circles, and I know a lot of them were murmuring and complaining, and that'll get you killed quicker than anything. God disapproves of that, and it's wicked. But they complained, and they murmured, they fussed and fought like a bunch of madness. But God still remembered them. When that little handful of them got down there, and they got ready to cross over Jordan to go into the promised land, God said, I remembered Abraham way back over yonder when I promised Abraham I was going to bless him and bless his seed and bless his people. I'm not going to forget them. And I want to say this morning, thank God he'll not forget us. I'm glad we're serving a God that, you know, things look bad right now. I know that, you know, things are, our country's in kind of a mess. Actually, it's not kind of a mess. It's in a real bad mess. And things look bad. Things look a little bit bleak, a little discouraging. But if you're saved this morning, you really don't have anything to get discouraged about. You don't have anything to get depressed about. Thank God we still serve a God that's in control. God knows what he's doing. God's not in heaven sitting in a rocking chair taking baths, wondering what he's going to do about this mess. I want to tell you, God hadn't forgot us. Thank God. I'll give you just a few thoughts and I'm going to let you go. First of all, I want to say we have a God who will remember those who are weary from the storm. Your brother just got through preaching about that a few minutes ago. I want to tell you something. If you've been saved this morning, any length of time, you know what I'm talking about going through them storms. It may be a storm that nobody even knows you're going through. And sometimes that's the worst kind, where you're going through something and it's so bad and it's so personal you just can't tell anybody. And it's so hurtful and so painful that you just can't just sit down and say, preacher, this is what's happening in my house. Oh, but I want to tell you what, there's a God up in heaven that loves you, and he loves you so much that he spent everything he had when he sent his darling son to this sin-cursed world to suffer and bleed and die on your behalf. And he hadn't forgot about you. I remember over in Nathaniel came to meet the Lord, and he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But when he met Jesus, Jesus said, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And he said, how do you know me? Jesus said, yesterday when you sat under that tree, he said, I saw you. I knew where you was at. I knew what you was thinking. Oh, I want to tell you, brother and sister, I've sat under many a tree before. I've said, felt sorry for myself, and I thought the storm's raging. I'm going down. I ain't going to survive. This is it, brother. This is where we're going down. Oh, but thank God. storm. I tell you, I've been through storms before in my life, and me and my wife and family's gone through some, Brother Rick. I've gone through a couple, two or three, and I looked at my wife and I said, honey, this might be it. Amen. You ever been there? I'm not talking about just a hard time. I'm talking about a storm, brother. I'm talking about a hurricane. I'm talking about a cyclone where you can't see the sky and you can't see your neighbor. You're right in the middle of it, and there ain't no way out, no solution, no help, no way, and you can't feel the Spirit of God, and it feels like your prayer ain't going 10-6 feet off the ground. Oh, but I want to tell you, just because you don't feel it and just because you don't see it, don't be the man of God. Up there is looking down, and He remembers. He knows where you are. Thank God He'll remember those weary from the storm. When God put Noah in the ark, I've heard this preached all my life, that God put Noah in the ark, shut the door, and turned the rain on. But that ain't what the Bible said. But if you'll read it, the Bible said when they got to that point, got all them animals loading, they got his family in, here's what God said. He said, Noah, come thou in the ark. He said, come on in, I'm already in here. Come on in with me, I'm going to close the door. I'm going to destroy this mess. God was in there with him. I've heard that song about the wind upstairs. You know, that God put that wind in the ark so Noah can look up and see God. That ain't what it's for. You know what that wind was for? It was to let the light in so they could see. That ain't nothing theological or spiritual about it. God knew there'd be dark in there. They were going to make it some super spiritual. It wasn't, it was just a winder. It's going to get dark. Amen, my brother, listen. They didn't need to see through no window to see God standing by. Thank God He is on the boat with them. Just like the disciples in the storm. They said, we're going to sink. And I was working and toiling and laboring, and Jesus came on board. And He said, peace be still. It took them a little while to realize we're knocking ourselves out for nothing. We can't get this boat under control. Can I tell you this morning, if you're going through a storm, you've got a God that remembers you. Amen. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. I'm like that preacher. You don't know what I've done. Right. We're all sinners. We're all human. We're all in this old flesh. And brother, ain't none of us perfect. We clean up good and put on good airs. But I want to tell you something. We're still just dirty, stinking, rotten sinners. And we have a gracious, wonderful, loving God that tolerates us and loves us. And when we're in the storm, He'll look down and say, I ain't forgot you. Amen. Noah's on that boat. I studied that out one time. Me and my wife figured it out. And I ain't had nobody refute it. I think I'm right. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they was on that boat from the time they went in until the day they came out was 1 year and 10 days. Approximately. A little over a year. We think 40 days. 40 days before, that's how long it rained. They was on that boat. And then they come off the boat 1 year later. But I want to tell you something. When they come off that boat, there wasn't nobody around. There wasn't no restaurants. There wasn't no Outback. There wasn't no pretty motels. There wasn't no shopping centers. There wasn't no Cato's or Walmart or somewhere to go shopping. It was desolate, barren, and God was rebuilding the earth and letting the herbs and the seeds take place again. But when they first got off that boat, it had to be a lonely time. But I want to tell you something, brother and sister. What we fail to realize, Noah was in the storm of his life. He was in the perfect will of God. Listen, when you get in the storm of your life, you just better check up, look around. You might be exactly where God wants you. I imagine there's times that on that boat, his kids come and said, Daddy, are you sure everything's going to be all right? Are you sure it's going to be all right? It's raining awful hard. I ain't never seen it rain like that. I can hear people outside the boat screaming. Daddy, I can hear people climbing up on the side of this ark. Are you sure? He said, son, everything's going to be fine. You know why Noah said that? Because the Bible said that the wickedness of the world had waxed worse and worse, and God was going to destroy the earth. But the very next verse said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God, Brother Sam. I'm glad we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It ain't because I'm good. It ain't because I'm special. It's because I'm His. I belong to Him. Thank God He ain't going to forget me. When they landed, they was on the mountain. They say, I studied that one time. It's just one of the highest mountains over in the Middle East. While like getting on the mountaintop. They wasn't down the valley beside the creek or in the mud. They was up on top of the mountain. Can I remind you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen? When you get on the mountaintop, you know what put them there?
That storm put them there. That's exactly what put them on top of that mountain. I want to get on the mountain too, but what I want to do, I want a dove to pick me up and float me up on a beautiful cloudy day, on a beautiful blue sky day, and float on a cloud. But it don't work like that. Sometimes the very thing you think is going to rip you apart at the seams is the very thing that's going to set you on top of that mountain. Thank God, I'm glad for the storm sometimes it'll put you right where you need to be, and God will remember you. You remember those weary from the storm. I looked at my wife before and said, I just don't know about this. Have you done that? If you hadn't, you ain't been saved about a week. There's been times, I ain't even proud of this. Most preachers wouldn't even admit it because they want you to think they're super spiritual. There's times I've thought about quitting. Have you? Well, as a preacher, I can't believe it. Well, read the Bible and you'll find everybody in there except Jesus thought about quitting. Most of them did quit. Some of it was suicidal. Only person in the Bible I can't read where they said anything about quitting was Paul. But all the rest of the prophets and the people, and a lot of people turned around, they was walking with Jesus in the book of John chapter 6, verse 66, and they walked away from him and walked with him no more. Jeremiah said, I'd like to find me a place out in the wilderness to get away from guess who? He didn't say the world and the wicked and the Sodomites. He said, I'd like to get away from God's people. He said, this church crowd's driving me crazy. Amen. He said, a bunch of church members are about to drive me insane. I just want to quit. I want to get away from them. But I want to tell you this morning, God will remember you when you're weary from the storm, when you're tired and you're broken and weary and you think you can't go another step. God will reach down and help you. You can ask my wife, every time I felt that way and felt like I can't go another step, God, let something happen. Just give me enough oomph to go on. I was feeling real discouraged here. It's been about 8 or 10 years ago. I was sitting in my computer. I didn't know much about the internet then. And I don't know a lot about it now, but there's a guy sending you an instant message when his little thing pops up on the screen. And he was a young preacher. And I believe he's at PBI now, but he was up in Michigan at the time. Didn't really know him. I try not to fellowship with Yankees anymore than I have to. But he asked me if I knew so-and-so girls home in Kentucky or something like that. And I said, no, I know a few people from Kentucky. I don't really know who they are. And he said, well, he started telling me, and Debbie was sitting right there beside me, and she was watching this conversation. And the reason I'm telling you this, you'll see the point in a minute, but I was weary. I was weary from the storm, Brother Jared. I didn't think I could handle it anymore. But he started telling me, he said, well, I was in West Virginia at a meeting, and said he was having a big youth conference, and said these girls got up to sing, about 20 or 30 of them, and they was from a wayward home, been living on the street, and some of them on drugs and crack, and some of them had been prostitutes, and these homes take them in and help them, get them on their feet, and help them get saved, get them right with God, find them jobs and all that kind of stuff. He said this girl got up and they was singing, and said she took the microphone and she started saying this. She said, I was on my way to hell, and said I was living on the street, and my life was a wreck, and she started telling about how somebody gave her a tape of this preacher. And she said, I started listening to that. She said, oh, she said the conviction of God fell on me, and my heart broke. And she said, I fell out off my bed, down on the floor. And she said, I sobbed and cried until Jesus came into my heart. And you know who the preacher was? You're looking at him. I about fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe it. I said, I don't even know them people. I don't know who they are. But she knew my name. I'm not saying nothing about me. I'm nothing. I'm not important. That's not the issue. But what I'm saying is, I needed that. I needed to hear it because I was in the storm, and I thought I was going to sink. And God said, okay, I'm going to throw you a bone. I'm going to give you something to make you keep on going and keep preaching. He's good about that. You feel like you can't handle it anymore? God will let something happen, just blow you away. Amen. Number two, God will remember those weary from the storm, but secondly, He'll remember those weakened by the flesh. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 9? He said, I want to do good. I really do. And the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the bad that I know that I shouldn't do, that's what I end up doing. And he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. That's why you don't let boys and girls court and date and run around with each other in the dark by themselves unchaperoned, because there's nothing good in this flesh. It'll get what it wants. Amen, amen. That's good preaching. But he said this. He said, I'm weakened. He said, my flesh. He said, it's a war zone. He even used that terminology. He said, a battle going on in my mind. He said, it's a battlefield. I don't want to do bad, but I do. I want to do good, and I don't. He said, I really want to do right, but this war is raging in my head. He didn't say, oh, I'm not saved and my heart's not right. He said, my mind, there's this battlefield. and I do things I shouldn't do. Now, if Paul suffered with that, I would say probably you will too. And he said, I'm weakened. You know what? If Mr. Flesh wouldn't tie me down, Brother Gary, I could fly, man. I'd get to preaching, second run and jump, and I could go. I'd fly around the building. But this is what's holding me down. This old rotten, stinking flesh, it's corrupt. It's vile. It stinks. It's bad. Amen? And that's what I have a battle with. Listen, I'll tell you what I've learned. Listen, I'm nothing great. And I'm not saying I've accomplished anything. After I've been preaching about 31 years and been pastoring for a long time, Brother Jeff, one thing I finally figured out, if I could ever get me right, if I can ever get Brother Ronnie straight, listen, the rest of it don't look near as bad. I feel a focus on myself. What a dirty, low-down sinner I am. Then I realize you ain't near as bad as what I thought. It's all flesh. Well, Jesus tell Peter and him when he's asleep, and he said, the spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Why's them boys going to sleep? The Son of God's willing. Wouldn't you like to spend some time with Jesus? Amen. They was asleep. You know why? That old flesh got weak. They got tired. Listen, that's why you got to stay busy. If you don't, you will go to sleep. Now Eutychus was up there in that upper window. Paul was preaching. Listen, the greatest preacher that ever lived, other than Jesus Christ himself, was up preaching. Wouldn't you like to hear Paul preach? Here was a man. He was sitting under the greatest preacher in the world, and he was asleep. He slept through the whole sermon. Those people, they'd give anything they had. Give their wealth of the world to get to hear one sermon Paul preached. And there was a guy getting to hear, and he's asleep. You might be asleep on God, and God moving through this place getting ready to do something. He's already been doing something. God will remember those weakened by the flesh. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. It is a constant. Listen, I used to think this. I don't know why. But I thought when I first got saved and started preaching that after a while I'd reach a spiritual plateau, and I'd get up there and I'd be like Benny Hinn and some of them guys that never sins and they work miracles. I thought I'd be like that. Amen. I did. I don't know what made me think something that crazy. I thought I'd just pray enough, read my Bible enough, win enough souls, and finally one day I'd just be a spiritual giant, and I'd walk around and anoint. You know how you get anointed? The Holy Ghost comes down to me when you're preaching. You know when that happens? Boy, don't you love it? I mean, that comes out, and I thought I'd just be like that all the time, 24 hours a day, just walk around preaching and touching people and healing them, I guess. I don't know what I thought. I was crazy. And about the first time I had a train wreck, I thought, oh, what's wrong? And it's like the Lord said, welcome to the real world, young man. Amen? When you first get saved, he'll come walk you around, carry you around, and pet you and burp you and give you a pacifier. But after a while, he'll set you down and say, all right, you little brat, walk a little bit. You're big enough. You ought to be doing something. Ain't that the truth? That's exactly right. Listen, that's why we need to train and prepare young converts, because it's not always a bowl of cherries. But what I realized was that this old flesh is weak, and it'll hold me back. It'll keep me from doing things I want to do. Amen? People look at you and they think, boy, man, that's what I want to do. I want to be a preacher. I want to get up and sing. But they don't realize you don't always feel like you're on cloud nine all the time. Matter of fact, majority of the time you don't feel that way. Matter of fact, most of the time you don't feel like preaching. I got up on Sunday morning before Debbie said, get up, go to church. I said, I don't want to go. She said, you have to. You're the pastor. Amen? But you know what I'm saying? This flesh was saying, no, let's lay here. Let's go fishing. Let's do something else. But listen, the spirit needs to be renewed. The inner man has to be renewed day by day. That's why you read your Bible. That's why you go to church. That's why you pray, so you can renew that inner man. If you don't, that flesh is weak and it'll take over. But God will remember those weakened by the flesh. Sometimes you can't handle it, can you? He'll help you. Those weary from the storm and those weakened by the flesh. But number three, this will be the last point I'm going to make. God will remember those wasted by a life of sin. It kills me. You ask my wife, I talk about it all the time. It bothers me to see people throwing their lives away. You can't get young people to understand it. It's like their heads got concrete in it. You can't penetrate. You can't get them to understand. What you're doing is, it might be fun now, but you're going to pay for it forever. The rest of your life. You'll pay for it till the day they drop you in the ground. Listen, I want to tell you something, folks. You say, well, preacher, you turned out all right. No, I didn't. I'm saved, and God, I was one of the most fortunate ones. I can name a whole bunch that was in the same shape I was in that didn't make it back to God and didn't make it to the church house and didn't get saved. And beside that, I've got scars on my body and on my mind I've got to live with till the day I die. And it ain't no picnic. You young people here this morning never drank, never took drugs, and never participated in illicit sex and stuff like that. You ought to thank God you've got a good testimony, because I sure don't have one. Some of us preachers get up and brag about how much liquor we drunk, how much pot we smoke, and act like it's some spiritual, but it ain't. That's shameful. That's terrible to have that kind of life. I'm ashamed for my kids to know some of the things I've done and some of the places I've been. I wouldn't tell them everything I've done for $1 million. Oh, but I want to tell you, thank God. I'm glad God will spare you. He remembers those that's wasted by a life of sin. I've seen some of the fellas I used to run around with. You think I look bad? I look good compared to people. Matter of fact, Brother Jeff, most of them ain't even living. The average lifespan of a rock star is like 37 years old. People want to be a rock star. They don't live, they don't see them in nursing homes. Rock stars don't make it. People don't live that life of sin, jumping in and out of bed with each other and changing partners every 2 or 3 days. They don't make it to get very old. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to help you. God will remember those that's wasted by life of sin. You may be listening today. You might be here and you say, preacher, you don't realize how why I've wasted my life and some of the things I've done. It's just like he already preached a while ago. God will pick up those pieces and put them back together. That's the only shot you have. That's the only hope you have in this world. He'll remember those. The amazing thing. He that knew no sin became sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. The amazing thing about getting saved, it's not that God saves good people. It's like he specializes in them bad cases. Some of us here this morning, if we'd get up and tell where we used to be and what we've done, it's incredible we're even here. I can tell you case after case after case where I almost got killed several times. Car wrecks, fights, I've had guns pulled in my face, all kinds of stuff. But listen, what I'm trying to say, God will remember those wasted by a life of sin. We see somebody, their sin is wrecked and ruined by sin, and we look at them, we say, they don't deserve to go to church. They don't deserve God. But that same person can walk down this aisle with tears running down their face and a broken heart, and the God of heaven will stop what he's doing, and he'll give attention and give ear to those repentant hearts, because the Bible says, a broken heart thou wilt not despise. If there's anything that'll get God's attention, it's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Amen. We can all be up here singing and making beautiful music, singing the prettiest song. One sinner, ruined by a life of sin, can walk down this aisle, and God would rather hear that than he would that pretty singing. God will stop what he's doing and say, wait a minute. God sent Jonah down to Nineveh. He said, go tell him I'm going to kill him. He didn't say go tell him to repent. He said, go tell them to wipe them out. I'm just being merciful by warning them ahead of time. Do you know what happened? Them people got under conviction. They fell in the sackcloth and ashes, and from the king all the way down to the pauper, and they started praying and seeking God. God said, you know what? I was going to kill them, but you know what? A pitiful heart, a broken heart. He said, I'm not going to turn them away. If they want salvation, I'm going to give it to them. Thank God he will remember those that's wasted by a life of sin. The world may cash in their chips on you. God won't. Even on the cross as Jesus was dying, two thieves. Nobody likes a thief, do they? I mean, really. I don't like a liar or a thief. They're about the same thing. Here he's hanging between two thieves, and one of them was mocking him. The other, both of them were at first. And then the one got a conviction, and he rebuked his friend. He said, we're getting what we deserve. There was his admittance of being a sinner. And he said, this man has done nothing amiss. And he said, Lord, there he was confessing him as Savior. Would you remember? There's a repentance right there on the cross. He said, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom and Jesus hanging there and his blood's running out of his body, got nails in his hands and feet and the crown of thorns, and he looked over at that man spent his life. He wouldn't work. He's a deadbeat. He's a loafer. I mean, breaking people's houses and steal what they worked hard for. Just a lowlife, not worthy of scraping up off the street. And Jesus looked over with compassion in his eyes as the life was draining out of it. He said, not only will I remember you, but I'll take you with me. You get to be the first one to go to heaven when I go. Glory to God. I want to tell you this morning, God will remember those that's wasted by a life of sin. Amen. Don't run into him. Come get us a song. I want to tell you this illustration. A God who will remember. Y'all come sing one, Candace, you and Mom. They said this is a true story. This woman, if I've told this here in my church, y'all just tolerate me a minute. But they said this woman, years ago, her husband left her, and she had like 3 or 4 kids. Didn't have no way to support them. Back then, you couldn't get all the help you can now. So she'd start stealing stuff. And she's selling it, trying to put groceries on the table. It wasn't right. What she did wasn't right. But she was desperate. She didn't know what to do. Couldn't get a job. Back in the old days, back in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, a woman couldn't get a job. Amen? And she's standing before the judge. They'd called her, arrested her. there sat them little kids back there in the courtroom, and that mama came before that judge, and he said, ma'am, he said, you've got so many counts of I don't know what it was, larceny or whatever, and he said, your fine comes up to such and such, I think it's $150, and he said, how do you plead? And she said, I plead guilty, Your Honor. I'm not denying what I did. He said, do you have anything to say before I pass it? She said, yes, Your Honor. She told him why she did it. She said, I know I did it. I know it was wrong. And I'm not saying I did right. But she said, Your Honor, that's the only thing I could think of to support my kids and put food in their mouth. She said, please have mercy on me. He said, man, this is a court of law. You broke the law. That's not exempt for people. That's just having a hard time. She said, I understand, Your Honor. But she said, that's the only thing I could do. And they went back and forth a few minutes. And so he said, okay, here's your sentence. $150. Back then, it's a lot of money. Or 90 days in jail, I believe it was. And she begged. She said, Your Honor, please. Please don't take my kids from me. She said, I deserve everything you're throwing at me. She said, I deserve to be in prison. Please don't take my babies from me. I ain't got nowhere to send them. Don't put them in an orphanage. I'll do anything. Please have mercy. The whole courtroom was crying. You know what that judge did? They said he stood up. Nobody knew what was going on. The other lawyers were waiting to hear other cases. He took his robe off and he walked down here like this. Walked down here in front of the bench. Pulled his wallet out. He said, if it pleases the court, I would like to pay the fine for Mrs. Smith, $150. Laid it down right here, walked back up here, put that robe on, sat back down, took his gavel, said, case dismissed. Amen. You know what I'm trying to tell you this morning? Jesus Christ loved you so much. I don't care how much sin you've been in, what you've done, where you've been, or how much you watered in it. Jesus Christ paid the debt, and oh, what a debt he paid. Thank God, I want to tell you, sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He walked up and said, hey, I want to pay for Rick Davis. I want to pray for Gary Davis. I want to pay for Jared Pilkington. I'll pay for Sam Cousins. I'll pay the debt. I'll pay the price. And God in heaven said, case closed. Thank God he will remember you. I saw a man with heads bowed. Heavenly Father, you know our needs this morning.